Walmart Give and Take.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Walmart has gotten plenty of criticism about how much or how little it pays its workers. Well, the retailer is doing something about it. Walmart announced a plan yesterday to increase starting pay at a third of its U.S. stores. The average will be 6%. But it's also capping wages on each type of job. Harley Shaken is a labor economist at the University of California. He says Walmart is giving with one hand and taking with the other.
I think Walmart is raising starting wages because it may be having trouble attracting qualified applicants in some markets. But on the other hand, it's trying to save money by capping what workers earn on a given job, meaning that they'll need a promotion to earn more in the future.
The unions don't seem too impressed by this move. By the way, the average full-time wage at Walmart is about $10 an hour. Later this morning, we'll get some numbers from the government on how much oil the country has at the moment. This could help us gauge the impact of BP's oil field shutdown in Alaska. Americans are being warned this could drive up the price of gasoline even further. But is this a real threat or an imagined one? More now from Marketplace's Jeff Tyler.
The average price for a gallon of gas in the U.S. is approaching new record highs. But energy economist Philip Verlager says it's a lot of hysteria. There's no shortage of supply.
There is no reason for the price of oil to go up significantly right now because inventories are high and because the refiners in California can cover the situation pretty easily.
California refineries are among the world's most sophisticated, able to process the most challenging kinds of crude, supplies of which are readily available. The only thing for consumers to fear, says Verlager, is the instinct to hoard.
I can see a situation where California consumers rush to the filling station today to buy and essentially drain the system and create the problem.
The real problem, says Verlager, the U.S. consumes too much oil. He says we desperately need a conservation program and better mileage standards. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
That oil field shutdown did drive up the price of oil and down the price of stocks. The Dow fell 21 points, 0.2% to 11,219. The NASDAQ fell 12 points, that's 0.6, to close at 2072. The S&P 500 dropped 0.3. Today, oil is trading close to $77 a barrel. Gold opened at $645 an ounce. Happy days are here again for the big airlines. Some great profit reports in the last few weeks. And to celebrate, what are they doing? They're raising fares. United says it's boosting fares by $5 to $10. Continental, U.S. Airways, Delta, and Northwest were all at the party, too. They've decided to match the increase. You're listening to Marketplace. Your chances of getting conned in cyberspace might be a lot higher than you think. A new study says online scam artists are getting smarter and they're getting more of people's money. More now from Marketplace's Lisa Napoli.
Consumer Reports' third annual State of the Net survey found web surfing can be expensive and dangerous. Technology editor Jeff Fox says cyber criminals have poached $8 billion from Americans over the past 2 years in a variety of ways.
Viruses, spyware, and phishing scams. Your odds of becoming a cyber victim are about 1 in 3.
Fox found the so-called phishing scams are one of the most serious problems. That's where thieves trap you into giving out your online passwords and use them to take your money. Median cost of the take? $850, 5 times what it was just last year. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report. We are produced and distributed by American Public Media.
The Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a financial services organization providing nearly 3 million members with financial products and services. Thrivent.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
The boss will see you now.
There are a lot of hogs in South Dakota this week. Not pigs, motorcycles. 500,000 bikers take over the town of Sturgis every year. Harley-Davidson is the brand of choice for many. Harley's one of those companies that has stuck with what works for more than 100 years now. Today we continue our series, Conversations from the Corner Office. Harley CEO Jim Ziemer recently sat down with Kai Rizdahl.
You've been riding Harley-Davidson since you were 15 years old. You grew up, near as I can tell, pretty much around the corner from this place. Did you ever imagine in your wildest dreams that you'd be running Harley-Davidson one day?
No, in my wildest dreams, when I started when I was 8 years old, and I used to watch the test riders burn rubber as they took off, and I got all excited, and I said, someday I want to get paid to ride Harley-Davidson motorcycles.
You were the CFO of this company for 14 years. You're an accountant. How come you got to run the place?
Good question, but out of my 37 years I've been here, I started in the union. I worked in the factory as a salaried worker. I've worked in engineering. I worked in parts and accessories. So with that balance, I mean, I think that's given me the ability to go much beyond just being an accountant.
Do you think that gives you some credibility when you go down to the shop floor?
There's no doubt. We'll joke around with the union presidents that they saw the same posting for an elevator operator, which I was the freight elevator operator, that maybe they should have posted for it. So, yes, we have a pretty good time. And I think it does add to the credibility.
These are great days for Harley-Davidson. Hasn't always been that way. I'm thinking now back to the early and mid-'80s when this company was almost gone.
It's a great story. I mean, back in 1981, there was a leveraged buyout. Prior to that, this company was owned by a conglomerate. They didn't really understand the company. They certainly weren't close to the customers. Quality was not what it should be. And we had some very stiff competition from the Japanese. In fact, at that time, the Japanese had flooded the market, and there was basically a two-year supply of Japanese motorcycles in warehouses all around the U.S., plus the economy was taking a dive. A lot of things were not going right. And after the LBO, you had some dedicated managers of the business that loved the business, understood the business. We were reinvesting in the product, improving the quality. And we got back to our roots, and it was a very good way to go forward and improve the business.
Seems to me sort of the same thing is happening in Detroit now.
A lot of their troubles do stem back from a long period of time ago. Being comfortable where they were on top, not looking at what if things changed, and it gives us a great example to continue to look at our business and giving us motivation to continue to change things that we're doing and not get complacent.
I'd imagine when you want to unwind, you hop on your Harley and you go for a long ride somewhere in the countryside. What else do you do to get away from this place?
Well, number one, it's sticking with the riding Harley-Davidsons. I mean, that is a great stress relief. Other than that, I like to be outside. I like to garden. I like to hunt and fish. And I like to play with my grandkids.
Jim Ziemer is the CEO of Harley-Davidson. Mr. Ziemer, thanks a lot for your time.
Oh, thank you. It's been a great pleasure.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The moral and physical cost.